1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." So I'm going to talk about hope this morning, which may not be the greatest, but is certainly important. Dictionary definition. Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. Expectation of positive outcomes. Amongst its opposites are dejection, hopelessness, and despair. Hope is the antidote to despair. I don't know whether anyone saw the film Clockwise with John Cleese in it. Quite an old film now, I guess. But in it, John Cleese plays the part of a headmaster whose school is run like clockwork. Everything happens at exactly the right time. And because his school has got such a good reputation, he's invited to speak at the headmaster's conference for public schools. So he has this prestigious appointment to speak to all the head teachers of the public schools. And he gets up at exactly the right time, has his breakfast, gets to the station, gets on the wrong train, and that's the start of his problems. And then, as he's thinking, "I'm not going to make it," he sees one of his pupils driving past in a car and flags her down and says, "You've got to drive me to this conference. Phew, I'm going to make it after all." And then the car breaks down, and it's like one thing after another, and there comes a point where he's in the middle of nowhere and comes across this monastery, and he's completely given up at this stage. He realizes there's absolutely no way that he'll make the conference, and so I can relax. And he sits in the bath and he's singing in the bath, and then someone drops him just a glimmer of hope that he might still be able to make the conference. And you have this scene where he's running across a field in a monk's habit, out of breath. And he says, "The despairing I can cope with, it's the hoping that's killing me." Which is ironic. It is totally the reverse of what should normally happen, of course, because despair is normally what kills people and hope is what gives you the drive to carry on. In Anne Frank's Diary of a Young Girl, she writes this, "Where there's hope, there's life. It fills us with fresh courage and makes us strong again." Someone else said, "They say a person just needs three things to be truly happy in this world. Someone to love, something to do, and something to hope for." Sometimes we just need that something to get us out of bed in the morning. Do you ever wake up and you just wonder, what's the point and what am I doing here, and oh, I can't be bothered with today, and then you kind of remember that I'm meeting so-and-so for coffee at 11 o'clock. Oh, and it's the next episode of Poldark this evening. And I'm going to the theatre on Friday with son. And you just have things to look forward to, and suddenly life becomes positive again, and you hop out of bed feeling happy. Just having that something to look forward to, that expectation of positive outcomes. The word hope occurs 180 times in the Bible. The most occurrences are in Psalms, where it occurs 34 times, then in Job 18 times, and in Romans 14 times. I was struck with the fact that it occurred second most often in the book of Job, because you think of Job as a kind of negative book of trials and tribulations, and yet that is just the point when we need hope to give us a reason to carry on, to give us something to look forward to. It may be bad now, but I can see a day when it won't be this bad, when things will be better. I have a confession to make at this point. There was a time when I used to buy lottery tickets, national lottery tickets. Not every week, but maybe most weeks. And I'd buy it on a Thursday for the draw on the Saturday evening. Tell you how long ago it was, the lottery tickets were still a pound at that point. I suspect they're quite a lot more now. And after a while, I realised that actually, you know, being a mathematician, I knew that the chances of winning were next to zero. So I only ever bought one ticket. There was only one prize I wanted. And let's face it, 10 times next to zero is still next to zero. So there's no point buying more than one ticket. But it gave me something to look forward to. On Saturday evening, I might be a multimillionaire. Yes, I knew the statistics, but it could just be me. It had to be someone, so it could just be me. And after a while, I realized that actually I wasn't buying these tickets because I expected or even possibly wanted to win the prize. What I was doing was buying 3 days of hope, something to get me through the week. And 3 days of hope for a pound is a real bargain. You mustn't underestimate how good hope is. And then I got into the habit of not even checking the results until Monday. That gave me an extra 1.5 days of hope for free. We all need hope. I don't know if anyone's a fan of John Lennon. His song Imagine is one of the most recorded songs ever. It has been, cover versions have been recorded by over 200 different artists. Let me read you the words. I hate this song, but let me read you the words. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Well, yes, John, but it's cloud cuckoo land. It isn't going to happen. And there's a difference between hope and wishful thinking. What John Lennon is selling is wishful thinking because it, unfortunately, isn't going to happen. Jesus said there will be wars and rumours of wars. Let's not live in unreality. If you hope for something that isn't going to happen, then your hope is going to be disappointed. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says this: hope deferred makes the heart sick. Don't promise people things you can't deliver. You know, if you say to your children, we're going to go to the seaside, and then, oh, sorry, something's cropped up. But we will go next week. Oh, the car's broken down. But next week, and there comes a point where people just get tired and sick because the hope they realise is actually never going to happen. As Christians, we don't need to rely on false hope. We have a hope more permanent, more lasting. We have a hope of heaven. We have a hope of eternal life. We know our final destiny. This isn't a hope built on wishful thinking. This is a hope built on fact. And let me just go through the passage that Nikki read. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. This hope is not based on chance. This hope is based on certainty. There is a 100% chance of winning this one. Hope is based on fact. And Paul points out the facts. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. Don't take my word for it. Look at the facts. There are 400 and odd people walking around who have seen Jesus after he was raised from the dead. Go and talk to them. See for yourself that they're not lunatics, they're not deranged, they're not wishful thinking. They know what they saw. It's a hope based on fact. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Paul's life was changed around so dramatically. Something had to have happened. What happened? He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You look at his changed life and you base your hope, your expectation on a knowledge that this is true. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he didn't raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Our hope in Christ is not for this life only, it's for the life to come. I said on Easter Sunday that Christ's resurrection from the dead was so important. Without his resurrection, he would have been seen as another prophet who gave good teaching and was put to death by the Jews, who had a long track record of putting their prophets to death. But no, his resurrection from the dead changed everything. It proved that there was life after death. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The theme of hope is a welcome one when we are faced with some of the things that life can throw at us. When we are filled with fear, we need the hope of God's presence, power, and promises. When we are faced with pain or illness, we need the hope that God is aware of what is going on in our lives. When a bad and difficult situation goes on for a long time, we need the hope of knowing that God is able to overcome the evil that has besieged us. When it seems that the world has lost its mind and has become hostile to God and everything good, then we need the hope of knowing that God is still in control and will be the ultimate victor. And we have hope because of who we are. It's not just because of historical facts, it's because of our relationship. It's because we need to understand where we stand in Christ. We are the people of God. He has created us with his own hands. He has redeemed us with the blood of his Son. He has raised Christ from the grave and promised that we will follow in like manner. He is preparing us a place in his kingdom. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place. We are the children of God. We are redeemed. We are heirs of a coming kingdom. This is our reality. This is our inheritance. Jeremiah said this, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew. Before you were born, I set you apart." Isaiah said something similar. "Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name." The Apostle Paul, Galatians 1:15, said, "God who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace." We have all been appointed from the moment we were born. God has a plan for our lives. We have hope that God knows what he's doing. The point is, if that was true for them, it's also true for us. The Bible says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace." That's Ephesians 1. The Bible calls us a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful life. If we have confessed our sin and come to God for his healing and forgiveness, stop thinking of yourself as a miserable sinner and claim your inheritance. This is who you are, no matter how the world may see you. To build your life around your strength and abilities is an illusion. You need something that is lasting, and something is who you are in Christ. The Bible says that it is Christ in you which is the hope of glory. Colossians 1. We are able to hope because we are able to trust God. We no longer have to be in control. We can let go and let God. Ooh, that's difficult to do, isn't it? To let go and let God, to trust him. But we have this hope that he knows what he's doing. He knows what is best for us. I love that bit in Discipleship Explored where it said, if you wonder what God is doing for you exactly what you would do for yourself if you knew everything that God knows. And that's a lovely thought. Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We have a hope of eternal life based on fact, based on the death and resurrection of Jesus, not a false hope based on wishing and imagination. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And let me finally read Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. We have this hope as an anchor, the knowledge that Christ was raised from the dead, that his crucifixion gave us forgiveness for all our sins, and we have this wonderful inheritance.